Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Friends, welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. We are gathered here today to celebrate the life of Marty Dekinga, and as we do so, I invite you all to stand and sing together the praise of our God who loves us deeply. And the processional hymn this afternoon is The Love of God, which will be on the screens. Seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. As we continue our worship together this afternoon, our God speaks to us from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, saying, "None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Our Lord Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Let us praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Friends, we are gathered here today to remember and to celebrate with gratitude to God the life of Marty Dekinga, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, uncle, friend, brother, brother in Christ, child of God. As we give thanks to God for Marty's life, and as we fondly remember him and celebrate his life, we are also confronted by a very real grief. And so I invite you to let us share our grief with our loving God. Let us seek his comfort as we pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Creator and our Redeemer, in whose presence there is no darkness and in whose presence there is no death, we worship and we adore you, the living God. Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who tasted death for everyone and who brought life and immortality to light, we praise your name for victory over death and the grave. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, comforter of those who sorrow, we praise your name for the light and hope of your presence within us. Before you, holy and triune God, we offer our worship and our adoration, even in the face of death and the grave. And now, triune God, you know all the needs of Marty's family and friends before they ask. You are ready to supply them all out of the riches of your mercy in Jesus Christ. Show us now that mercy, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light and hope of eternity. We ask you to speak to us once more that solemn message of death, and especially that message of life, and help us to go forth living as those who are prepared to die. And when our days are ended, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that, living or dying, our life may be in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Most merciful God, whose wisdom is beyond our understanding, we ask that you would deal graciously with Marty's family and friends in their grief. Surround them with your love, that they may not be overwhelmed by their loss, but that they would rather have confidence in your goodness and strength to meet the days to come. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And friends, I now invite you to hear the word of God from Psalm 100, a psalm that Marty would have loved to have read today, inviting us all into celebratory praise of the God we share. And Marty's granddaughter, Katie, will read that now.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
As you listen to the words of this song, Give Me Jesus, I want to invite us to open our hearts today, to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us, that these words would be true for us in our lives. Take the world. You can have all of this world, right? Take it all, but give me Jesus. Thank you. in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me this afternoon is from Job 19:25 to 26, which is also printed on the back of your service folders, one that Grandpa Marty wanted today. And so you can follow along or listen to these words from Job. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Amen. At this point, I want to invite you to stand if you're able, and we're going to sing together a blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance. can be seated. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Please pray with me. Eternal God, your love for us is everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of morning light. Help us now, having heard your word read, to turn to you with reverent and believing hearts. In the stillness of this solemn hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that having heard the promises of your holy word, we may have hope and be lifted above the darkness and distress into the light and peace of your presence. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. When Jesus spoke those words that Jacob just read, he spoke them to a group of men whose hearts were indeed troubled. In the previous chapters in John's gospel, Jesus had been speaking of his being lifted up, words that John tells us were descriptive of the type of death by which Jesus would die. More recently, just in the previous passages, Jesus had been speaking about his departure. He spoke of departing to a place to which his disciples could not follow. Though Peter was sure that he was ready to follow his teacher anywhere, including into death, Jesus told Peter in no uncertain terms that Peter would instead deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Troubled hearts. The disciples had only 3 years earlier walked away from their homes and their livelihoods to follow Jesus, who was now saying that he was going to leave them to go to this place that they could not follow. The disciples must have felt that Jesus was kind of pulling the rug out from beneath their feet. They who had left homes to follow Jesus must have felt an impending sense of homelessness. So they certainly needed Jesus to pause and say to them in that moment, let not your hearts be troubled. They were troubled. It probably didn't hurt that he paused also to invite them to place their hope on the sure foundation where it always belongs. Believe in God. And then Jesus places himself on equal footing with God, for he is, as John already told us at the beginning of his gospel, he is God in human flesh, tabernacling, tenting with us in this passing age. And so Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God, believe in me, the sure foundation for all of our hope. In the presence of death as we are today, knowing that Marty has himself gone where we cannot follow, leaving us behind in our exile through this passing age, like those disciples listening to Jesus, we too need to hear Jesus' comforting words. Let not your hearts be troubled. As we reach out for solidity, maybe feeling that the ground beneath us has been swept from under our feet, as we reach out for solidity, and we're tempted often to reach out in the wrong places, we need Jesus to extend to us the invitation, the reminder to place our hope on the sure foundation where it always belongs. We need to hear Jesus say to us too, believe in God, believe also in me. But we also need to know why, even in our grief, we should not let our hearts be troubled. We're gathered here today to give thanks to God, predominantly to give thanks to God, for a man who was, with his family, really a pilgrim. He was an exile, moving quite a bit through his life, literally moving, house to house, city to city. Some of you can identify with that. I've spoken with Seth earlier, lived in more or less the same place, and then only recently, but he was a pilgrim. His children were pilgrims. He went where the Lord led him, to new opportunities, to new calls, until he settled down a bit in Sioux Center. It was abundantly evident in my conversations with Marty's sons and daughters-in-law that Marty and Leona did everything they could to build traditions, to build continuity, to make sure that they really established true homes wherever the Lord led them, in the many places that he led them, and maybe even the pilgrimages they went on in the camper to the CSI conventions every summer. Maybe that was even part of the continuity and the true home that they tried to build. But we have to admit that whether we live in the same town or whether we move all over the country or the world, none of us are ever truly at home here in this passing age. We might not want to admit it, but in this earthly life, we are all people on pilgrimage. Our sin, our rebellion against our Creator God, has cast us out of what could have been and what should have been our true eternal home. And so we know intuitively that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. We know, whether we admit it or not, that there's this brokenness within ourselves. We aren't the people that we know we should be. We're not even the people we want to be. We know that there's something very wrong in this world. We're probably more quick to admit that there's something wrong in the world out there and less quick to admit that it's in here, but we know it. There's this deep brokenness within and without, and we also know that we don't have the strength or the ability to fix it. This homelessness, we all recognize. And so among all the joys of life, whether it's Marty watching teachers and students working hard and succeeding at things they didn't know they could succeed at, or whether he's having fun at home with the kids or enjoying a cup of coffee with a neighbor or friend from church. In the midst of all of those things, Marty, like all of us, also experienced then the hardships, the trials, the pains, the sickness that come along with this homelessness that we experience ever since our expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Those hardships, those things, things from the big things, like the tragic loss of a daughter, the communication professor's loss of his ability to communicate with Alzheimer's, big things all the way to the little things, just the frustrations, the vexations that come to us in the normal day. And now here we are today confronted by our own loss, one of those big ones, the loss of Marty himself. We're all pilgrims in this passing age. And we're all awaiting the call that Marty has now heard, the call home to that place of abundance, joy, restoration, reconciliation, healing. The call into the Father's presence, in the Father's house, in which Jesus himself has prepared a place for us. That, the presence of the Father in the Father's house, that is the longing of every human heart, whether we admit it or not. Often we try all kinds of ways to get to what we think we're longing for. We take the wrong paths, and so we end up at the wrong destination. We find ourselves further from our goal than when we started. So like Thomas in this passage that Jacob read, we all at some point have to admit the plain truth. Lord, we don't know where you're going. And like Thomas, we have to ask, how can we know the way? How can we find the way home? And like Thomas, we desperately need to hear Jesus' reply. I am the way, the truth, and the life. By God's grace, and by God's grace alone, it's always by God's grace, Marty knew what he was longing for. And he spent his life in his family, in his church, in Christian education, in his community. He spent his life pointing others in both the direction of both the destination and the path. He spent his life pointing others to Christ. By God's grace, Marty knew. Friends, what you're looking for, whether you know it or not, is way back to the Father, from whom you and all humanity has been separated from that day when we rebelled in the garden. Marty knew the destination and he knew the way because he had heard the voice of his good shepherd, Jesus, who says, I am the way. I am the way out of the brokenness, out of the deception, out of the selfish rebellion that leads to division and enmity and strife and ultimately to what gathers us here today, death. Jesus says, I am the way into the rich, abundant, reconciled, and restored life of the living God. I'm the way home, now and forever. It was Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, tabernacling among us, who at the cost of his own life became and provided the one and only way into the very life of the living God. He did that for Marty. He did that for all of us. We certainly cannot get where we truly want to be, whether we know or admit that God himself is our true home. We can't get there by more sinful rebellion. That's certainly the case. And there's no other deity by whom we can get home. There's no amount of spiritual or moral work that will put right what we've done by our sin. Nor is there any need for such work. Because Jesus himself has done it. Jesus himself is alone the way home. No one comes to the Father. No one comes home except through him. Jesus is the way. In his obedient life and in his obedient death on the cross, Jesus also made the way. He is the way. He made the way to our true eternal home, lifting all of us out of this twisted way of our own sins making that leads us ultimately to death. In his life and death, Jesus undid the consequences of our rebellion. And as God said through the prophet Isaiah, we can give thanks for it today. He swallowed up the covering that was cast over all peoples. He swallowed up death forever. And he won for us that day in which God will wipe away every tear. So the foundation for our hope, for ourselves, and for Marty is this. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The source of hope has always been wrapped up in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We have hope today, friends, even in the face of death, because Marty's life was, and praise God, because Marty's life, present tense, is, united in Jesus' life. Because Jesus' death and resurrection life is Marty's way home, our way home. Our way home to the Heavenly Father and our heavenly dwelling in God's presence. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, Marty is home. Amen. Please pray with me. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for Martin Dekinga. We remember your mercies to Marty, your servant, for like all of us, he needed your forgiveness and your grace. And we thank you for all in him that was good and kind and faithful, for your grace that enabled and empowered Marty to live a long life in your service and so in the service of his neighbors. Now may he hear your commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Martin. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock. a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant. Amen. Now, friends, before we receive God's blessing, I want to let you know, all of you, that some ladies of the church have prepared a meal, light meal in the back, and you're all invited after the benediction and the final hymn to join in fellowship and remember and celebrate Marty's life back there. And give you a few directions, too. After the benediction, we're all going to be invited to stand, if you're able, for the recessional hymn, which is How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art. The family will be then dismissed during the refrain of the after the second verse, and the rest of you will stay there and then be excused by some of the gentlemen in the back there. And so now, friends, I invite you, if you're able, to stand and receive God's blessing as we go. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let's sing How Great Thou Art together.
Amen.